I read scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. We come away with one word, humility. Mm-hmm. Or a two-word subject, bowing low. But I like humility. Humility is not the result of having a poor self-image. True humility comes from a place of strength and inner security. Humble people are fully aware of their gift, their training, and their experiences, and all the attributes that make them successful at whatever they do. To be humble does not mean that you become a floor mat for everybody to walk on. It does not mean that you let everybody cut in line in front of you in Walmart on a busy day. But I'll say this, if your strength and your self-image of yourself is strong enough, then do it. All right. Because in this message I have been thinking about, and I'm sorry that it was not one of you that I have been thinking about in this whole time of doing this message. I started last Tuesday. And that was Jesus Christ.
Well,
I thought about him most of the time.
Oh, yes.
When I was trying to get this message, and I probably won't get it right. To be humble is to have an inner strength that you seem not able to explain to anybody when they ask you, why do you allow, or why did you do this or you didn't do that? Mm-hmm. Humility is indeed a quality of one's character. We're not born with it. Humility is not a disposition that some are fortunate to have while others are simply do not have it. Humility is a character quality that needs to be cultivated. If you don't work at becoming humble, you will not be that way. Some of the people that act the most arrogant people that you know, they are basically just putting on an act because they are trying to be something that they are not. And it's the same way with being humble. Some people try to be that way, and they never end up being that way. You have to have an inner strength to be humble. And if you don't cultivate it, you won't be that way. And I found me the way to cultivate it is to live right here.
Amen.
Live in this word. Allow this word to sink deep in your heart. Other people might not think that you're humble. You don't worry about it. You just go right on and you keep staying right here. I'm not going to go over there and get in there. My neighbor has some tomato plants and he have them on his front patio out there. And I glanced at them this morning and one of them is just about right to make fried green tomatoes. He have cultivated those. He have worked on those. He have done things for them to grow. If he would have just planted them and left them alone.
Well.
And it's the same way with you being humble. You have to cultivate it. I'm glad you asked. I heard you. You cultivate it by digging in the soil, making sure it's planted at the right place in good soil. Don't plant it in sand and expect it for it to grow. You can do all the things that you need to do to it, but if the soil,
yes,
yeah, if the soil, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it's planted in this word, it will grow. It will get everything that it needs. Get it again. Amen. We're going to let it stay. So we need to make sure that we cultivate it, that we do what's necessary for it to become what it needs to become. Good parenting can help a child learn humility and remain humble as he or she matures. Life, painful circumstances grind the sharp edge of pride and smooth the rough corners of arrogance. When you have good parenting, that will help a whole lot. As you observe, that is what will sink into your spirit. If you observe arrogance and walking all over everybody, that's what you will do. That's why good parenting is important. And let me throw this out there. You don't have to be the birth parent of a child to parent them.
All right.
I see a lot of them in here that didn't grow up in my house, but I have tried my best to parent them. And all of them didn't just get out of school. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, he says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God.
Yeah.
With that, we'll go to point number one. Be subject to the elders that you are around and those that you come in contact with. And I'm going to broaden this word elder today. I'm not just talking about in the church. Talking about those that seem maybe chronologically older than you. Give them honor.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says be subject to the elders and the ministers of your church. And you do know where the church is, don't you? It's in you. So be subject to them. The word subject means to submit and to place yourself under the authority or leadership of someone else. The chairperson of the group, the chairman of the auxiliary, the president of your social club. That person is the leader of the group that you're in. If you do not want to follow the leadership, then don't become a part of. If you don't want to follow the leadership of Dwight Baggett at Macedonia 603 MLK, you need to go somewhere else. Because he's trying to follow God's edict. And wherever you go, you need to be willing to follow that leadership.
Yes.
And if the leadership, help me Holy Ghost, is not right according to God, God's going to get it.
Yes, sir.
Him or her. Going to get either one of them. Because if you mislead a few God's people, you can't get away with it. The leader is to lead the people and not lord his leadership over them. Don't, if I have to constantly remind you that I'm pastor of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK, guess what? I'm not. If I have to constantly remind you, I'm not. If you have to constantly remind your children, I'm your daddy, guess what? You might not be. Because the to rule or to lead from the point, the position of fear is not a good place, of physical fear. You don't need to lead from there. And humility is not lording because you're in leadership over people. And talk about younger here. We're not talking about age-wise in the church. It's those that have just arrived, that have just submitted their lives to God. May not have been walking on this road for 25 years. May only been here for 1 or 2 years. The older, the elders of the church have to set an example for them to follow. But in them setting that example for you to follow, you need to go to, what's it, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approval unto God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to get that in your spirit, no matter where you are going or who you are following. You need to get that into your spirit. And you do not rule or lead from an authoritarian position. Do what I said because I said. Don't. No, you can't do that. Because all you're going to do is drive them away. Instead of drawing them, you will be driving them away. Subject yourself to the authority that is placed over you. This is why it's so important for believers to remember that you have somebody over you. Don't care how long you've been in the church, there's somebody you got to answer to. You need to answer to somebody. And if you don't answer to anybody that you can look at, you're going to answer to the one that comes back.
All right.
So you might as well get used to doing like somebody says for you to do. I tell people, and she's not here today, so y'all can tell I said it, and she know I said it. I worry about nothing. I don't have anything to worry about. I don't have any money. I'm pastoring a church. And my wife takes care of the money, and the church tells me what to do. So what else is there? I don't have anything to worry about. I don't even worry about preparing a message because God got them all right here. They're all right here, and this is where I find them. Everyone I preach, I find it in here. If I don't find it in here, I don't preach it. This one comes straight out of this word. So therefore, you need to stay with God, and you have to answer to somebody, and you might as well get used to answering to somebody. If you got a job, you answer to somebody. You might think you your own boss, and it's all right to think that sometime, but don't let it swell your head. Believers ought to be as young people, willing and able to sit at the feet of someone else and be taught this word of God.
Yes.
Every believer ought to have somebody that they are teaching how to become a believer. And can I just tell you, you're doing that whether you know it or not? Because somebody watching you.
Amen.
And they're not going to tell you, walk up to you and tell you, I'm watching you so I can see how. But you're going to just have to live.
Mm-hmm.
just like you know that they're watching you.
All right.
And that's why I say it a lot. I say, hide and watch. Mm-hmm. Hide and watch me. So I thought somebody was going to be here today, and I was going to walk up to them, and they're not here today, and say, where were you yesterday, which was Saturday, about 3:30 in the afternoon? And they going to tell me where they were. I'm going to say, yeah, I saw you. Because if Mother Lewis was here, she would say, I look like, well, I'm not going to say what she said I look like. I was dressed a whole lot better than I would have been dressed because I was with my wife. I had on a pair of jeans. I think I had on jeans. And a pullover shirt. And I think I had my cap on that's full of paint and everything. And this person have not seen me out of this kind of dress. And I was going to walk up to them, but then somebody else got between us and I couldn't get to them. I was going to speak to them to see if they knew who I was, because I wasn't. But I said that to say this, that I was living then like I wanted them to see me living.
Amen.
See, you got to live this life 24/7. You just have to. And that's the way you can lead when everybody know that you're going to be living for God, no matter where they see you and what they see you doing. You ought to be living for God because you are an elder, a leader in the church. All of you might not have a position that you call a leadership position, but guess what? You got one, whether you know it or not. Point number two, be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. In those verses, that the word all that is used means every one of us. All ages, all sexes, all classes. No one is exempt. We need to be subject one to another. All of us are to be subject to subject ourselves to all believers, no matter who they are, male or female, poor or sick, young or old. We need to subject ourselves to all the people. Subjection. To subject yourself, submit yourself to everybody, takes concentration, and it takes effort. If you don't work at it, you won't submit. You have to work at submission because the nature of us is not to submit. We want to be our own person. We don't want no one telling us what to do. That's why we rebel so much. That's why you still got some Adam in you. I don't care how saved you think you are. We think only young people rebel. Old people rebel too. You just don't want to admit it. You think because you're grown, it gives you the right to do whatever you want to do. But you rebel. If you do not keep every word of God, you are a rebellious soul.
Well,
you just rebellious and saved, but you have to admit that you have it in you. That's why every now and then you fly off the handle. Uh-huh. And you remember how you used to be. It takes a deliberate decision to subject yourself to someone else. For you to say that you are going to subject yourself to someone else, if you don't work at it, you won't do it. Been what, 3 weeks? 3 or 4 weeks my wife been having eye surgery. She knows this whether y'all tell her or not. I am about to climb that wall. And it's nothing she's done. She hasn't done anything. It's just my nature. I have to submit myself to doing whatever she needs to do for her eyes because she can't do it. I can do things for myself. And she had to do the same thing when I had back surgery back in in February. So you see, God fixes her to turn around. But if you don't make a deliberate effort to submit yourself to serving other people, you will not do it. Well, that's why some of us won't do anything, because we'll have to submit to somebody else. We are our own man and our own woman. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. You don't even have boots. How are you going to have bootstraps? So we need to submit ourselves to someone else. And you cannot submit yourself to someone else if you have not submitted yourself to Jesus Christ. When you submit yourself to him, then you can submit yourself to someone else. To be subject to one another is not enough. For God's scripture tells us that we must also be clothed with humility. All right. Just like you put on that suit or that dress this morning, you have to put on humility. Not just one day. You don't come out the house naked every day. Naked today and clothed tomorrow. No, you have to clothe yourself with humility every day. You have to, because it's a different day, so you have to clothe yourself. You have to gird yourself with that. You remember in the Bible when Jesus had the disciples in the upper room, he took off what he had on and he girded himself again, because the first place he girded himself was when he left heaven and came down as a man. He put on the greatest humiliation that it was. He became a human being. God became man. He humbled himself and became what he made. I make myself understand that like this. Henry T. Ford cannot become a T. Mall Ford. He made one. He's responsible for him. Jesus Christ is responsible for man. He became what he made. He humbled himself. He was not so high that he could not become what he made. We need to humble ourselves to get this word of God out to people that do not want to hear. We have to clothe ourselves with humility and tell them. Mm-hmm. Because most of us don't want to hear it until we get in trouble. Until our sons or our daughters get in jail. Or they come down with cancer. Then we want to hear this word. But then, just because they don't, that's when they want to hear it, you don't take it away from them. You give it to them then. Because sometimes you don't need to take an antibiotic if you don't have an infection inside your body. You don't need it. So if they come for it, then as a child of God, you need to give it to them. What Jesus did in that upper room when he humbled himself, he became a slave. He did what slaves would normally do. And that's what we need to do. We need to tell people about this saving grace of Jesus the Christ. You may have the wealth and the power that you need. You may be famous. You may know everybody that there is. The president could call you for information. But if you carry yourself in that spirit, if that's who I am, you're not a humble person. Don't care how much you try to act like you are. You're anything but that. The humble person, they are in possession of all this, but you couldn't tell by looking at them or by observing them. We need to be clothed in humility. We need to wear it every day. Today, I'm clothed in this. Tomorrow, I'll be clothed in something else. But every day, you need to put on humility. And it does not need to be an act where you are acting like you are humble. You know how to act like. You know how to play church. You must carry yourself in a way that it would be pleasing to God. Then I ask myself a question. Why are we to be subject one to another and clothed with humility? And it's real simple. It's because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. He stands against all who look down on others. He stands against all who feel superior to others. He stands against all who discriminates against others. He stands against all who are prejudiced. He stands against all who are boastful. He stands against all who are haughty, and he gives grace to the humble. Grace means favor and blessings of God. The person who walks humbly before God recognizes and acknowledges the value of others. That person shall receive the favor and the blessings of God. The humble person shall bear the fruit of the Spirit that's in the Word of God. They shall get the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Those are the things that you will inherit when you are a humble person. The humble person has the assurance of being cared for and looked after by God. You might not like them. You might not care for them. But if they are humble in the way God would have them to be humble, he will look after them and care for them. Most people, a lot of people, don't care for people that are humble because they think they are weak. And they don't realize how strong the person is. Point number three. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God, and don't let this knock you off the horse, God is to be feared. We are to have a reverential fear of God. He tells us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God because David said after he had done wrong and God was going to discipline him, he said, I'd rather be in the hands of God than I had in the hands of my enemy. Because he knew that in the hands of God there would be justice and he would receive nothing that he had not already done something wrong for. So you see, we need to have a fear of God. We need to fear him so much that we know that he's going to discipline us if we do wrong, and so we want to constantly do right. You don't live in a fear that he's going to kill you because it's his breath that you're using. So but we need to fear him because we are under the mighty hands of God. The very thing that we do not want to be is prideful. When you don't admit that you're under the mighty hands of God, you will become prideful and think that you can do all of this by yourself. The only way to escape the judgment of God's hand is to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. It's a lot easier to, in the mind, for me to receive punishment or discipline if I don't resist and fight against it. When I know that I've done wrong, I need to accept the punishment. I know that sounds weird, but if I'm wrong and I think about myself and when I didn't like to get whippings when I was growing up. So in saying that, when it come my time to get a whipping, if I could escape, yeah, I'm just telling the truth. I would leave. I would run, and they didn't try to catch me because they knew one thing. I was coming back. I'm serious. That's the truth. I would run, and I was a slow learner because I did it more than one time. If you run, you know, you got to come back. Because your stomach going to start growling. It's going to get dark. And growing up in Baker, we didn't have street lights. You know, so it would get dark and it was dark. But then when you get back, it just gets worse. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because he is going to exalt the humble. The humble are not yet exalted. They are not yet exalted because they have to go through everything that it takes to make them humble. You will be exalted, the Bible says, in due time. He will exalt those that are humble. When we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, we are saying, God, whatever you decide that I need to do, I will do it. And God will take you down some strange roads when you humble yourselves under his mighty hand. And when you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, you won't see your way out of situations, but God have already made a way out of it. But you just have to trust in him. And this is where I kind of got stuck right here, because I start thinking about Jesus Christ, who was the part of the Godhead, and here he is in my mind hanging on a cross where they have crucified him. They messed him up so bad you can't hardly recognize it. But he's staying up there, and he could call legions of angels and they would come and take him down, but he would not do it. If he could do that, why can't I go through what I have to go through if I keep my eyes focused on the cross? So many times we get our eyes on the situation or the circumstances that we're in. We take our eyes off of Christ, and then we lose sight of what we ought to have sight of. If we keep our eyes focused on him, you'll make it through whatever comes your way. Might not seem like it. It might get dark. Might get difficult. Your head may be bloody, your eyes may be closed, but it will be unbowed if you stay with God. You have to stay with him no matter the situation, because I remember one passage I try to remember all the time. He said he promised me that he would not leave me nor forsake me. If God's with me, I am a majority, so therefore I need to humble myself under the mighty hand of God and allow him to work it out. If God works it out, everything will be all right. But when I try to work it out, I mess things up. If I leave it to God, God, you promised me. Sunday school this morning, trust in the promises of God. What God promised, he will do. He have not lied. I don't know about none of the rest of y'all, but he have not lied to me. He kept me in everything that he said he'd keep. So some of his promises, that's why I'm trying to learn some more of them, so I can get them and throw them back to him, so he can do what he said. He's going to keep me. He loves for us to know what his promises are and tell them back to him. God, you said. God, you said. And give him his word back. I don't see too many of them in here now, too many of the children are not in here. That's what they do with parents, especially at Christmas time. You said. Especially grandpa and grandma. They can get them. Yeah, They tell you what you said. That's what we need to do with God. We need to remember his word so we can give it back to him. We can do that when we've humbled ourselves under his mighty hand. We should humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God because he cares for us. He cares about all the anxiety and the trouble that you've gone through. The believer of Peter's days was suffering terrible persecution. They were in a place, they were sent out to scattered through five different areas that they were scattered in because they were being persecuted because they believed this gospel. Has anybody in here had to leave your home, your job, your family, everything else because of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you have not, see, you don't have reason to doubt this because you don't know, but people that have had to leave because they were believers of Christ or lost a job because they would not do certain things, that's because the God that's in you won't let you do certain things. If you need to know and tell people that under the mighty hand of God, God have yet provided for me when I did not have. There's not a person alive that God have not looked out for some kind of way, even the worst sinner. Because their lives could be a whole lot worse. Those people have been forced to flee from where they were used to living in areas that they did not know into a new territory. They had to go there. Imagine the anxiety and the pressure and the tension and the stress of that was experienced by the believers. Yet, there was great help for them. That was the help of God. God was available to them just like he is available to you today. You have to know how to get in touch with him. You know how to Google everything on the computer. Know how to Google God. Just dial him up. And he's always there. And you don't have to worry about him, somebody hacking into your account with God. You don't have to worry about that. Because his network is secure. Can't anybody get into his network that don't have the right password? Today your password may be my grocery bill, my light bill, or my password today could be, Lord, I just thank you. What do you need, son? God, I just want to talk to you. I just want to tell you thank you. What do you need? God, I don't need anything, but I just need to be in your presence. Because I have humbled myself under your hand. God, just let me talk to you for just a little while. Oh, I'm looking at a lot of you, y'all. Y'all not that old. You remember how it was when you got that special phone call. You just waited on it. And sometimes you'd hold the phone and you wouldn't be saying nothing. Wouldn't be talking. Just listen. You ought to do that with God because you ought to love him that much. Just listening to him breathe. And you need to just call him up. And just talk to him. Don't need anything. And if you got mama and daddy at home, you ought to call them up sometime when you don't need anything too. Just call them up and just talk to them. And you know, with me, it's good sometimes just to hear God's voice. That's why sometimes you don't need to be looking for something. You don't need anything. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Who is that? Somewhere in Psalms I said, hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what we need to do. We need to just take this word and put it in our heart. We need to eat this word like we do food. Some of us eat 3 or 4 times a day. I'm one of them. And so therefore you need to do this with the word as well. You need to eat this word. This word will feed you. It will bring you peace and comfort. When nothing else seemed to bring you peace and comfort, this word can supply it. But you got to go there and find it. Well, I bothered you long enough. In my conclusion, Jesus Christ is the perfect picture of humility. He said some things to me that showed that he was totally submitted and had total humility to go towards God. He said in John chapter 5, verse 17, the Son can do nothing of himself. To me, that means whatever I'm doing is because of God. John chapter 5, verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. He was totally dependent upon God. John chapter 5, verse 30, again, he also said, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father. We need to be submitted to Jesus the Christ. In John chapter 7, verse 16, he said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Don't have anything of my own. That's the way we need to be. We need to be so busy talking about Jesus. When they ask us, what's your opinion? We say, I don't have one. What his opinion is my opinion. John chapter 8, verse 28 says, I do nothing of myself. He was totally dependent upon God. In this message, I hope you have seen the path of greatness in the kingdom of God will lead you through selflessness. Christian humility will emerge on its own. You do not need to try to develop the Christian humility. It will come on its own when you dive into this word of God. I'm through. Don't have much else, but let me tell you a story. In Africa, there was a professor who knew everything about elephants. He could tell the history of elephants, how long they would live, what type food and everything that they would eat when the breeding season, and how long that they would live. Everything that you needed to know about an elephant. And he had all of his degrees on the wall. He carried a party out and he told them all of this. And then he said, the party that he carried out said, well, when are we going to see an elephant? In the wild. He said, I don't know when you will see one. He said, but I'll tell you what we'll do. So there is a tracker that lives in the next village. So we are going to get him tonight, and he will take us to where the elephants are. The party that he was giving the tour to said, you know all of this about an elephant, but you cannot take us to where the elephants are. He said, no, I can't. He asked him a question. He said, well, the other man that you're going to take us to take us to show us the elephant, said, does he know all this that you know? He said, no, he does not. He said, but he knows how to find the elephant. That's where you need to be with humility. You need to know where to find it. Here it is right here. This book, what's in this book here, will put the humility within you. It said, in the story that I read, it said, and that night, they picked up the unlearned tracker. They drove around a long time. And he kept on the same track. And all of a sudden, he waved, motioned to the driver to stop. In a bush, in bushes that they had passed that day, he got them out of the vehicle, carried them down the trail, and there stood 20 elephants at a water hole, not more than 100 yards from where they had been before. But the man that knew all about the elephants didn't know where the elephants were. Everybody that know how to tell you about humility don't have it themselves, and they can't tell you how to get it, but they can talk about it. Will you stand? invitation. Not to come to me, but to come to this God that I serve. We'll extend an invitation for you to become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. One which just happened to be at 603 MLK. Will you come to Christ? Will you come to Him just as you are? Don't try to change anything. Don't try to get yourself right. Come just as you are, and I promise you, He will take you. Will you come to Christ? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.
Are you showering down your blessing? Your blessing come me. Not anything has done though, as far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror, so it's what you see in me. Sometimes I think about the things you have. Washed away all my sin, set my spirit free. Then I look back on my life, I haven't always done right. Still goodness and mercy follows me every day of my life. Hallelujah, too close to the mirror, see what you see. Shower down your blessing. Your blessings on me. Not anything I've done, Lord, as far as I can see. Yes, I'm too close to the mirror to see what you see in me. When I thought about giving up, for hold on to fame, keep your trust in me. Lord, you don't see me like I am, you see me like I'm gonna be. So I believe I'll run on, see what the end's gonna be. Hallelujah, too close to the mirror, see what you shower down your blessing, your blessing.